expose, if I could use that word, the board has exposure to in terms of perhaps refunding to a student if something were to happen to this institution is what you're saying, 16 and over,
right,
which is $55,000.
Right.
So that's our only exposure, if I can call it that.
Yeah, and that's what the bond company is saying, that you can't get a bond amount for something that's $55,000. Okay. I think it was like 126.
Yes, it was. And it was based upon the total revenue.
Right, and they're like, you can't do that kind of computation.
Okay.
So that's when I came back to Terry.
Okay, well then, I think we misunderstood from the previous.
And I didn't know how it worked either.
Sorry.
Yeah, so I'm sorry about that.
I would make a motion that we revise the bond amount as requested by the Hutchinson to reflect our exposure, which is, actually it's less than, it's $15,000 is our minimum, so I would make the motion that we revise the bond amount to the minimum of $15,000.
The board had also requested that she submit to board of
authority. Oh, and I'll revise that as well. Based upon all of these changes, I also include that we don't require that you submit to board of authority as our motion was last month.
Okay.
Okay.
Motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you for your time.
Madam Chair, for a brief moment, can I ask you to reopen item 6 and ask the board to take a voice vote on that? I apologize. I stated that as a disciplinary action, and I'm going to be voice vote. So the claim is a
$1,000 that was just before two items.
Images.
Yes.
All right. So all those who are in favor, say
aye. Roll call.
Roll call, sorry.
So Mike Romano, yay. Craig Jacob, yay.
Tim Dugan, yay.
Your son, are yay.
All that men, aye.
Consent.
Aye.
Your dress life, aye. Thank you.
Aye, aye, aye.
The aye is
aye.
The next item on the agenda is the conditional charitable vocational program license renewal for Contemporary Dental Academy. Ms. Stanford, will you provide us with a brief introduction?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. At your October meeting, the board reviewed the conditional charitable vocational program license with Contemporary Dental Academy. The board had several concerns and postponed action. In my report, I listed to you all of the changes that the board had requested. In addition, the board requested that Dr. Smallwood be present. In regards to financial statements, we received an update, and also I have been working with Emily, and she has submitted a revised enrollment agreement catalog, and it appears that the majority, if not all, of the changes were made. And Mr. Jacob is your
lead. Okay. Good morning. Would you please introduce yourself, and if you have an opening statement?
I'm Dr. Trent Smallwood.
I'm Chris Colton, the accounting firm, handling all the financials and everything, and getting stuff to Director Stanfield.
Did you hear
your last name? Culpepper, C-U-L-Pepper. And that's it, Madam Chair. So thank you for allowing us to be here today.
Okay. I'm Emily Rollins. I work for Dr. Smallwood, do the marketing and administrative.
Would you care to make an opening statement?
Well, this is a little new to me compared to the initial licensing, but I guess I'm just here as a to appeal to you to renew. We have had a good year in the sense of structure and restructure with regard to our educational program. And we're just learning the steps as far as what it takes to keep license. And we haven't had a class yet, but we have some great progress that we've come across. A lot of changes that had to be made end up setting us back a little bit, but we wanted to stay within the objective of what the state requires. And so I would say that basically we're just looking to renew and continue now and have a successful 2018.
Okay, Dr. Smallwood, so why haven't you had any students yet?
Very good question. Part of it is that the fact that we have had some personnel changes, Emily being the newest addition, and Chris from an administrative administrative, basically numbers, accounting standpoint, and really just really honing our structure before we really let loose. And we've gotten spent a lot of time on our website, just things that normal businesses need that I didn't realize going in. And I want to make sure that we have everything, all our ducks in a row, if you will, before we really start to evolve. Because we've had some great potential, but we've just been keeping them at bay until we know we're ready to go, and now we are.
Okay. By the way, I went on your website, and it's a nice website showing everything you're listing as far as your program. You do have a tab that says tuition. When you go on that tab, it doesn't list tuition. It just says give us a call kind of thing.
So
that's a little misleading. You might want to either change that tab. Okay. Or put the tuition on there.
Yeah, I think we will, because we're, as I heard earlier about transparency, that's something that's good for us, so we will make that change.
This, as an aside, we're definitely not like the prior person you just talked to. We're, you know, everything's above board. Just from a financial standpoint, it's good credit, he pays all his taxes. I mean, there's no.
So sure. I mean,
anything you want us to do, we'll do.
And, you know, the previous institution. From our point of view, they are above board. They just make some mistakes and oversight, and they're learning how to do this correctly, but they should be a little more cautious on what they do.
Yes,
and to ask us for advice if needed. So,
yes, sir.
All right. So I really have two things I want to talk about. I'm glad you did all the changes. That's great that we recommended. We were concerned about some of the puffery and, you know, state-of-the-art or advanced or and all those things. My concern is with the curriculum on X-ray. I'm familiar with another school that does dental assisting, and they do over 80 hours of X-ray training, and you basically in your curriculum had 8 hours.
Yes.
Plus some seat time, chair time. My big concern is, are they going to be prepared to take the RHS exam, and how much radiation health and safety is covered in that 8 hours? Because that's a big part of
it is.
X-ray.
That's a great question. I would say the difficulty I have with many of the programs out there in general is, not to use your term from earlier, but puffery, is there's a lot of fluff in these courses, I feel. And not that I feel like anything should be shorted by any means, and there is, as in many vocations in dentistry, there are many facets that we have to cover from a safety standpoint, whether it's OSHA or whether it's X-ray technology. The fact that our concentration is more on the digital aspect versus so many of those programs are on the actual old school processing aspect, that so many dentists, over 70% of the dentists out there, are using digital radiography. And yet the school is still treating the industry as if 95% of people are using old school processing. So we won't cover those, but our because the fact that the digital radiography is so much more advanced, so much safer, and so much easier to teach, we want to make sure that we do follow what is needed for that test, for the RHS test. But at the same time, I feel like we can condense it significantly. And I'm confident that they will be prepared.
Okay, are you covering what's the film? Because a good portion of the RHS covers film.
Yes, I realize that. Okay. And we will be covering that, because obviously we have to give them, even though I want to educate them on what is contemporary and modern and what is used today, I do have to conform to what is tested on. And I have to teach them that too.
Okay. And is the $250 test fee covered in their tuition, or the students pay that?
That's a separate fee for them.
Okay. And advanced techniques, you use CAD-CAM, CAD-COM?
All of it. Okay. Yes.
All right. I don't have any other questions. China?
I'm glad you came. Last time we had such a very long list that the poor gal who you sent was pretty overwhelmed trying to answer you.
Can I make a comment on that?
Yes.
To please, first of all, that is completely my fault. The way I understood it through that employee was that it just was questions that needed to be answered that were relatively straight and simple.
She didn't have an answer to it.
And I understand, yes. I really apologize for that, because I didn't understand, my fault, the scope of what was needed in that, and because it was funneled through her. And obviously, Director Stanfield, you know that now that's changed significantly with Emily and Chris, too. So I do apologize for that incident, I'll call it. And that was quite an interesting debriefing I had with her for several hours before, and I'm was a little overwhelmed by what had transpired, at least from her angle. So I do apologize for that.
If you listened to the that meeting, you would have seen that we were overwhelmed with things as well.
Right.
This is probably the longest list that I've seen in quite some time. And because a lot of it was kind of your personal puffery, it left her in a very awkward situation of defending whether you were or were not, in fact, moving on. It's a very difficult position.
I wish I could have heard this. Maybe I actually don't wish I could have heard this.
It's on the website.
It's not for everyone to listen to. Lucky for you, it's not the most riveting listening, so others probably won't. But it is there.
Okay, well, I might have to take you up on that.
So most of the puffery was removed, and I did go line by line and check them all.
Okay.
Because that's just what I do. And some of it was still there, and perhaps it is valid, like, you know, advanced techniques. Is that...
I truly feel like that really was kind of the foundation to this program, was that I had hired so many other assistants that I felt like we're not getting that. So this is advanced in the sense that I run a completely green practice. Everything's digital. I don't use really anything traditional, whether it's amalgam or impression material. That's just two things of many. But we show all advanced. We're going to teach, as Mr. Jacob had mentioned, we're going to teach all of those, but we're going to really have our concentration on what so many dentists now, especially all dentists coming out of school, are being taught and actually implementing to the dental profession. So yes, I would say advanced is very, very much a very poignant word for us.
Okay, so just so you know, it's not on the complaint committee, and I really, really don't like business.
I don't either. I wouldn't want any visitors to come here.
And if a student goes to your school and feels they've gotten advanced training, and they go to another dentist for a job,
right,
and they find that their stuff is subpar, they complain about you, you will hear from us. So just make sure you
okay.
truly stand behind that advance. Okay.
Okay.
And one thing that really kind of caught me was that you say that you have unique hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
Every single dental program that we've had, of which it is amazing how many. This
yeah.
is like a new fad to have this going on. Every single one had hands-on. So I'd like to know why yours is unique, besides they get to hang out with a possibly world-renowned dentist.
Yeah.
He is world-renowned.
But I just can't say that, right? So I would say it's unique because there are three elements to it that I have not seen in any other program. One is they get a hands-on element, which you're saying with what we call dentiforms or teeth or fictitious teeth, in the sense of they get to try to manipulate in a three-dimensional type of facet. Then they get to observe and watch real assistants with experience be able to do this, and then they actually get to work on patients under our observation. I don't know of any programs that actually will allow that.
And so weeks 1 through 9, they're there for 4 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
and then 10 through 12, they're there for, looks like 89 hours. They're there for like 30 hours each week.
Right.
Is that when all the hands-on?
Well, partly. A big part of that is the observance of watching. As many of you probably have in your own professions have seen, when you see something multiple times, you feel maybe after the seventh time that you can do this yourself. And then the third facet will be where they actually do it under our observation. And the great thing about assisting primarily, because we have, you know, of course, two programs, one for administrative, that doesn't really need hands-on as much in the sense of working on a patient or in the mouth. But with the assistants, they need to be able to fabricate, for example, a temporary, and some of you in this room probably have had crowns before, they need to fabricate a temporary crown, which is one of the biggest parts of their jobs, and then they need to create an ideal type of temporary crown so it fits well and stays in the mouth. And they can do all of this outside of the mouth on dentiforms, and then they get to watch how it's actually done because they've applied that knowledge. They get to watch how it's done, and then they get to do it at the end, which I think is phenomenal because it's one thing to work on a dummy, and a second, I'm not talking about people, but dummy, an actual dummy. And then there's a second to, right, and there's a second to watch it being done, but it's a completely different environment when you actually have to deal with the patient themselves. And the great thing about it is it's safe because everything is done out of the mouth and then try it in the mouth. So it's a relatively safe environment for everybody.
Yes.
So Dr. Smallwood, I'm a third and fifth year of having dental programs.
Okay.
Including through dental hygiene programs. 15 schools that have dental programs. What you described does not fit Webster's definition of unique.
Okay.
It's not one of a kind. You're not doing something unique compared to the other schools. You might, before you accuse the entire school industry that has spent their livelihood training others to maybe go visit some what is puffery and what in truth is fact.
That's it. This is just a curiosity question. The Myers-Briggs, since that's sort of like, you know, a personality type thing, so do you do that just so you can decide if you that'll be a good fit for your office, a good fit for that?
I have done it in the past.
You say you will.
Right, and I've applied that towards because to some employees, but I plan on doing that with our students because I think it's a great way to be able to see what kind of mind you're dealing with of the 16 type of personality types.
So we reject them if they're on the quadrant
of life? Oh no, because it's not based on the fact that certain personality types will necessarily coexist better with others. I'm just interested in how they think, and so the Myers-Briggs will give me just an indication of maybe a little bit more of insight to how their persona is.
Okay. For your SAF policy on page 16, it's not that clear about, you added in the probation period of 7 days, which was a deficiency last time,
mm-hmm.
but you have to clearly state how often SAP is evaluated,
okay.
So they can figure out when their next chance to improve is.
Okay.
And so you said your probation is 7 days, and the very first sentence said students must maintain a 70% grade, and they get a probation for 7 days, and on the next, somewhere here later, it says that you check, page 17, student grades will be posted bi-weekly. So
it's hard to say. You're saying basically I haven't given them days to remedy the situation?
Right, you haven't. And you didn't normally right up front you would say students must maintain a 7% grade average evaluation will be done every 2 weeks. And then your probation, unless you're going to do a special evaluation after 7 days, which you may.
Right.
But if you do that, that means you have to have some means. And you're not going to have a grade because you're only doing that
every 2 weeks. And I should explain that, which I don't. Maybe it would be better to show that in a 14-day instead of 7-day. That way it stays within the cycle of
most grade schools change. Do have their probation period matches a grading period because it's just easier to...
I can see it's like, we're planning on offering something to them so they can get the grade where they need to within 7 days. But, well, in the sense that some remediation or some change in some form to and get, you know...
You can have that
yeah.
as long as you have to explain it here. So this just sounds like you threw that in there because we said you need deprivation. You said, all right, 7 days.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it would be better maybe if we change it to 14 so that it would match. So you got that.
Yep. And then you have that students have to maintain a 70%, and then on the third line you say student has to bring the grade point average above 70%.
So I need to just have that working system.
Exactly.
Okay.
On page...
And my main reason for that 70% versus lower, I know, potentially, is just because I'm so adamant about them maintaining an educational element to keep to our standard.
Sorry, 70 isn't really like truly high achieving, so I would think that's the lowest you would want to.
Oh, really?
Like,
okay.
That's not something you get to write about being world-renowned for asking. Just saying. On your makeup policy, it's a very confusing. Thank you for changing it from $100 to $50. But you're saying that makeup hours can be offered. And so makeup hours have nothing to do with them having poor grades as they were absent or whatever. But then the next sentence says, the student may be terminated if grades are not satisfactory at the end of the probation period. What does that have to do with makeup hours? It's almost like there's a cut and paste happened here where it didn't belong.
It's almost in the wrong place.
Yeah.
What page?
Page 16 of the makeup policy.
I'm wondering if something happened that some of that's supposed to be down in satisfactory progress and it got put in good makeup. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably a typo, Madam Chair.
So you can fix that. And you will be asked to submit that to Ms. Stanfield for review before the license would be renewed. And then on page 18, a leave of absence, by definition, is you are telling the student that they can put their education on pause.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be a no harm, no foul. But you're going to give them a leave, but then when they come back, you're going to charge them more. So you're not really giving them a leave. You're penalizing them for being absent and asking them to make up the hours, but yet you said it was okay for them to be absent. So if you don't want to give a leave of absence policy, then don't give one. But
okay.
Don't have one that's not real.
Okay. So we need to rephrase that. Please.
You need to not charge a fee. If you're giving them a leave, you're saying they're not expected to attend. What many schools do is they tell the student that they have to come back from the leave at a point of training. Mm-hmm. So if your program is linear and they want to step out here, then and they only want a two-week leave, you say, no, I'm sorry, you have to serve 4 weeks, because that's the point where you can come back and fit in where you weren't. That's fine.
Right, okay.
But saying, yeah, we'll give you 2 weeks off, when you come back, we're going to charge you more. That's not good.
I think it's because my primary thought there was that it does change our whole curriculum for that person, because we've already moved forward, so we're going to have to create extra time through education to be able to get them up to speed. That's the fee. But if you don't feel that should be the way it is, then I have no problem.
It should be so that they come back at the same time in the next program.
Okay. So they just have to wait until the next program.
So they'll pick up next. If you want to offer.
If you want to charge them.
And I don't have any problem with that. I just know that probably a lot of people have difficulty because they may have to wait.
Then you can, if you're going to grant them a leave, you can choose who you give a leave or not.
Okay.
So if you feel that they're taking a leave, they're really not getting it, and when they come back, they're not going to be able to pick up where they belong, then don't give them a leave. Withdraw them and tell them they're welcome to reapply under your reapplication rules.
Okay.
But if you give them a leave, you're giving them a stop up.
That makes sense.
You cannot.
It's all right.
You can choose to say you're leaving at this point. You can resume at this point, but we will let you come a couple of days earlier.
Okay.
But you can't charge them because
okay.
That's the whole point of the leave. So you have a choice. You don't have to give them.
Okay.
And some people do ask for a leave when they just really can't handle it, and that's why it's a flippable coin whether they're coming back from leave, depending on their reason to leave.
That makes sense.
But you don't have to.
Okay.
Just given the questions going back and forth, I would also encourage consistency if you are going to grant an LOA, a leave of absence, so that it doesn't look preferential.
I understand.
That's a very good point.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the things, like, you don't have Title IV funds, of course, but one of the stipulations that they have in their leave asks is that a school is not allowed to grant a leave if there isn't an expectation that the student can return.
Mm-hmm.
And so there isn't that expectation, and then you say, no, you know what, you have to withdraw, and if you get everything back organized, you're welcome to reapply, and then at that time you choose whether to come back or not.
Okay.
But like, he and I both have the same situation, and we both ask for leave, and you grant mine, don't grant his, there would be a
I completely understand. Yeah. Okay.
This is just a curiosity. I got electronic files because we're trying to save paper. Oh, well, obviously. In your catalog, the title of it was ABC Sample School. So I'm just wondering if you borrowed it. Take someone else's catalog and modify it,
because
that would just perfectly loud. I'm just a little
yeah.
curious.
That, what do you do?
I have no idea.
Okay, because as I mentioned when I started, there are so many elements that are that we're trying to basically say within consistency of what you're needing from us and to be able to operate this, that we, of course, have to sometimes look and see what has been written.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. Everybody does that. I just thought it was just really funny. I thought I was looking at the wrong one, so I closed it out and looked at it. No, that does say.
It's the same one. Well, I do apologize. Yeah, we'll have to look at that.
No one would see when you printed. It was just not to read it.
Yeah.
That was my last note. Right. Anyone else
have
anything?
I have a few questions. Are you
yes, I guess I am.
Oh, it's ABC Schools of Black Heights, yeah.
Yes, that's just the company that holds it.
Okay. So a couple of questions, and maybe Mr. Culpepper, feel free to jump in here.
Yes, sir.
So we have financial statements from the school, and then we also have financial statements from the from your practice.
Your practice, right.
And then I'm trying to understand, did we request both sets of financial statements? Okay.
I think sometimes your requirements are, not to interject, but is that depending on how he initially applied for licensing, they either look at, right, his personal and all that. So that's why a lot of that was in there. I didn't know exactly what
he
wanted for the renewal. So that was the, I just figured I'd give you everything, and then if you don't want it, then you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on a couple of questions. On the balance sheet for the Temporary Dental Tech, also known as Black Light, Black Knight, LLC. Is there like a good story behind that?
No.
I thought it was like Batman or something like that. Or
it's a dark.
Okay. So, on the balance sheet, it lists as a liability, current liability, credit cards, due to Dr. Smallwood, $104,899.
Oh, yes. It shouldn't say that, but the way that it's done in QuickBooks, it's easier to make it a credit card, that account,
okay,
in terms of moving the money
so
around.
In other words,
but it's really just the liability.
Dr. Smallwood.
Yeah, it's really just the dental practice or him loaning, paying for things that on behalf of the dental school. So it's my fault. It shouldn't say that, but that's just...
Right. But in the notes to the financial statement,
yes, sir,
page 8, note number 5,
okay,
it says the opposite. It says the outstanding balance owed to the company from the sole shareholder was $104,899.25. So on the balance sheet, it lists as a liability, which means that it's owed to,
right,
the
company. Right,
that's my
fault. Yeah.
But the other way.
No, the company owes him. I apologize. So the note is incorrect.
No. So
I apologize.
So
yeah.
I guess, so the question, and you know, seeing your financial statements for the practice, I mean, obviously the practice appears to do really well. It operates in the black, et cetera. But the current assets for the school, which is what we're talking about here, is the total current assets is $49.67. Right? And the current liabilities are
$105,000. Right.
And so by definition, that means that you intend to pay back, the school intends to pay back Dr. Smallwood the $105,000 in the next 12 months. Right? Because that would be the current liability. And so how do you plan to do that?
Oh, would you like us to move it down to long-term liability?
I don't know.
I'm just asking.
But you can move it wherever you want, but
right.
I mean, it's
right.
Dr. Smallwood's
right.
money.
Right.
I assume that you must have invested, you know, that amount
into the school.
Right.
And the way it's listed here, the expectation would be that you're going to get it back in the next 12 months. So either how are you going to do that, or I mean, are you saying that, well, I'll forego $105,000, it might take 2 years, it might take 3 years, it might take...
I think our goal is 12 months, but we need to move that to more.
Right. Yeah. You're right, we need to characterize that about debt, sure.
Okay. And then you listed in the practice part, bartering, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So could you, like, just explain from an accounting standpoint, because I'm always like, I'm not an accountant.
Yes.
I'm always kind of fascinated by how do you account for that as revenue?
Because
usually if it's like right. a ordering, there would be it's like an in-kind, so there would be a corresponding expense.
This is certainly. So basically what happens is there are various bargain groups here in Arizona. They operate like sort of like a bank. So one of them is called Value Card Alliance, and a bunch of different, you know, there'll be a dentist, a chiropractor, a tire repairer, whatever. So if you want to go to the dentist, someone will come through the barber, and they'll have money in their account. They'll pay Dr. Smallwood through the barber account, and then he'll have credit his account now to go buy something else on barter. So it's not actually one-to-one. It's a consortium of people that are in an organization. And so it's like you have money, but, you know, basically that's how it works.
But we, of course, have to show
So it's not like someone coming with a chicken and saying, I'll give you the chicken and fix my crown, you know? It's not like that. it's a group. So that's how we try.
That's my dentist. I'm telling you.
Really?
Yeah. We had a bet over the year that the Santana song was on the overhead. Yeah, pretty good. But you do share an expense for the barter fees of the $22,000. So that's the fee that you pay just to be in the
right.
Program.
Sort of like a credit card merchant fee. Same principle. They oversee it. They charge a certain percentage of every transaction. So, and it's legally it's like revenue, so we have to count it tax wise.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. So, but legally you're supposed to count that as income.
I'm sorry, what did you call it?
A barter fee.
No, it's the technical name.
Agree?
Value Card Alliance.
Oh, you mean the company that's so
yeah, what was
Value
it?
Value Card Alliance. So there's about four or five barter companies here in Arizona that do that sort of thing. And like I said, those barter fees are basically like merchant fees if someone paid with a credit card, right? So same thing. That's right.
I guess just to sort of summarize on this, you have a practice that operates well. You have a school that has negative equity of almost $100,000, no revenue, you know, of almost $100,000 of expenses. And I think it would, you guys working with Mr. Culpepper to demonstrate that there's enough equity in the school to shore up your balance sheet. Because otherwise, this board has to make a determination that when students enroll, that the school has enough resources, including money, to be a going concern. So when someone enrolls in the program, that there's enough there for a year or for however long the programs last.
Sure.
And the way the balance sheet is here, there's nothing there.
There's no reserve.
You put, I mean, you put the two together, you know, side by side, and you say, well, it's your school, and so, okay, you know, they're probably not going anywhere, the school's not going anywhere. But somehow it needs to get reflected in your balance.
Well, that's our intention, of course, our goal for 2018 is to have it stand alone completely.
Right, but there needs to be, somehow, there needs to be an investment on here to demonstrate that there's enough assets in this corporation, Black Knight LLC, to be a going concern. And as I understand it, like this was a bank, you could be a co-signer for this business. Or this isn't a bank. This is, you know, so in that respect, the school's financial statements need to stand on their own.
Can I ask what would be the board's recommendation? 6 months reserve, a year reserve? What do you like to see? What is, you know, what are you? I guess just tell us what you want, and then we'll figure out if we can achieve that.
The program's 3 months.
What's that?
The program's only 3 months.
Okay. I guess what I would say is, if you were to look at, you know, whatever, you know, you're an accountant, so look at the different ratios, you know,
sure,
that a person, that a business should have. So like your current ratio,
sure,
is now like 49 divided by 100,000.
Right.
So that's like a bizarre number. And so figure out what it should be. And I would say if there's, you know, if it's going to take you a year to get this off the ground, then have a year of cash reserve. In it. And that way, or in the balance sheet, it will, you know, you'll have the kind of the foundation upon which you're going to build. You know, it sounds like it's going to be a nice school.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Is anyone interested in making a motion?
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the conditional to regular vocational program license renewal application for Contemporary Dental Academy with the stipulation to maintain the $15,000 surety bond, and that you notify the State Board when a class has been completed in order for us to conduct a site visit. Do you agree to that?
Yes.
And are the term of changes going to be mandatory or just suggestions? You said earlier that.
Yes, I would like them to be mandatory so that they're fixed before any student comes. Cool.
And amend the motion that they are mandatory.
Good. Second the motion.
All right, motion second. Any further comments? And you accept the terms?
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Revisions being done for explanations on the low retention rate and some changes in the catalog and enrollment. The explanation on the low retention rate was provided, and staff still has a few questions on the leave of absence policy as well as the payment plans that we still need to work out, but we haven't been able to connect yet. And here representing the institution is Shelly Murphy with Compliance, Jonathan Crowley, Jonathan, and Jacob Matthew, and your lead is Mr. Lukey.
All right.
Good morning.
Would you like to go silent
instead? We appreciate the opportunity to be able to come back and answer the questions that you guys have for us, and we apologize that we weren't here the last time due to some businesses and situations. We appreciate the opportunity to come back and answer some of your questions.
The main crux of my interest in giving you some questions this morning really is surrounded around your financials. There may be other questions from the other members related to some other issues, but mine primarily are for you to help us to understand how you're going to turn this around and move some 2 million. Management letter references closing a couple locations,
mm-hmm,
Houston and Phoenix.
Seattle.
Sorry, Houston and Seattle.
Correct.
And they were only responsible for about $350,000 of your loss. The bulk of it was $1.7 with online.
Correct.
So how do you propose to turn that around?
Great question. So last year was our startup year where we were investing a lot of money. So we knew we were going to be in the hole last year when we were doing it. We did a couple things as we were establishing the growth of the company. We wanted to create curriculum to the level of what Laws wanted to be able to have out there in the public. We also created our own LMS, which is unique. That allows the students are going in and actually does grading and adjusts back for the code based on what the students are putting in. So both of those items cost a lot of upfront investment to be able to put in there. We reached a break-even level last year in September, where we were actually breaking even. Then we did the launch with Laws. What occurred is we were overloaded with inquiries and demand from customers. And so we had to immediately ramp up our admissions team and our finance team to be able to handle the response. So we went from 15 admission reps to 62 in the month of October, which then put us back underneath. So we knew that that was going to be happening. And so for that last year, we knew that there was going to be those expenses, and we had that planned in our launch model that we had. And then moving forward this year, we know we're going to be running into deficit just because we ramped up a lot of the employees, right? We were back in September, we had about 45, 50 employees. We now have 138 employees that are working at Laws. So it's going to take us time to get that student population up to the level needed to be able to cover those expenses. Some of the things that we have in place to be able to offset that is we have gone out and received line of credits from different locations on top of the owners themselves having line of credits in. So we know that we have a substantial line of credits to be able to get us through the next few months as we're running into deficit. And then our goal is with some of the stuff we have in place. The reason we shut down Seattle and Houston is we knew that we weren't going to be able to get those turned fast enough, and they were more of a distraction for us operationally because they were small campuses and they were carrying large real estate loads. And so what we chose to do is to eliminate those and to sort of regroup our focus here in Phoenix to be able to eliminate some of that loss as we're putting our management plan together on that.
So in your management plan, you reference high advertising costs.
Correct.
And that you were going to reduce it from 4.
We were doing 4,000 students, yes. We were extremely expensive at the beginning. So when we did our initial launch, between the initial launch, that was about $250,000 expense out that we put in October to be able to get the initial launch going. And then as you start up a new brand and new marketing, there's additional costs that are associated with that. And so we knew that that cost was going to be high. What we've been doing over the last month and been doing through the first few months is we're optimizing all of our spins and our lead buying, our landing pages, our keywords, the AdWords that we're using, to be able to streamline them down to the words that are actually converting for us. Right. So when we first launched, we were just buying tons of words out there to be able to drive in the inquiries and answer the responses. And now what we're doing is we're doing negative AdWord elimination. So it may cost us $500 for one inquiry. So we're eliminating those to get it down to the right levels. So that's what we've been doing since December, and we're moving forward into this year too. Reduce our cost per start. Yeah, so the cost measure.
Is your advertising budget going? I didn't see the 2017 budget, I didn't see 2018. Is the budget for advertising going up or down?
It's from 2017 to 2018, it went up. From 2018, it's flat.
So the plan is to double the amount of enrollments per month.
Able to do that is quite simply because of Steve Wozniak's association to the school. It's been overwhelming. Which explains the ramp up and staffing.
Yeah. And it's a combination on top of that of as you're going through, so there's two pieces to that to answer your question. Piece on marketing, we're transitioning. When we initially launched, there was a lot of purchasing where we had to be buying all the leads. We're also transitioning our marketing mix so that we are now running about a 35-40% organic driven, which doesn't cost us anything, versus the 55-60% purchase. And our transition plan is by mid-year, it's going to be upside down, where we'll be driving about 60% of our leads organically, and only purchasing about 40%. That's why there's not an increase in marketing. And at the same time, because we ramped up so many new employees, there's a learning curve that's involved in that. And so all the employees are new right now, and so their ability to perform at a tenured employee status is is not as great. And so over the next quarter, as our employees' tenure increases, and as we do our marketing transition change, we'll have those 2 points sort of meet, right? The marketing will be coming down as the tenure and experience of our employees are moving up in relation to all the employees and their performance will become more efficient.
Sure sounds wonderful. Have you operated schools before?
Yes.
So the percentage of your advertising to your overall budget is higher than high.
Correct.
We know Dr. Smallwood, we would say world renowned.
It is very high.
That's how,
this is true.
How high that percentage is.
Yes.
I don't know that any of us would be able to sustain a school on that. And you're going to continue to spend, your budget calls for $4 million,
yes.
$700,000 in advertising.
Yeah, so as a percent over time, that percent will be decreasing over time. But okay. It is true as you're doing a startup. Like right now, if you're looking at our spend of what we're going to be pulling in on monthly revenue, that spend's going to be up in that 30 to 45% bracket, right? As we're building our student population, that percent of spend's going to be decreasing. So at the end of the year, that spend's going to be closer to about 20-25%. And so over time, the percentage of revenue is going to be reducing as we're becoming more efficient on our side and growing the student population.
All right. We didn't have the benefit of the letter of credit from, I believe it's Comerica.
Yes.
I could not find it. You had $100 million line of credit, letter of credit. You have to be paying some interest on that.
No, that's the owner's
large
amount of liquidity.
A large interest, a large relationship in the company.
But it's not tied directly to your school.
It's what sense?
We could not, as a board, access anything on that letter of credit, and nor could you ask to access it if it's not tied to your school. Is it tied to the school?
It's tied to the school through the owners, yes. Okay. Yeah, it's tied to Exeter, the parent company of WASU, so it's tied up there. And we could access it if we wanted to access it.
I had the same concern last month and this month as well. Your advertising expense is near your revenue.
Correct.
Never see a ratio like that where your advertising is as much as your revenue. So it's a word of caution that nobody else operates that. I've never seen anybody successful at that level. Other question is placement. Your placement seems abnormally low for technology. You got 40% placement.
Yeah, so
we see 80-90% for anyone in technology.
Yes, there was a typo on the application. So the actual placement rate is up in the 80s. And so I believe we fixed that on the resubmittal that we sent in.
Yeah, we
right now, after this, our current placement rate right now after the last graduating class we just had, is currently at 78%. So, that sort of ebb and flows up and down based on the grads that are coming out on the month. The objective we have is we want 70% of our students placed in field within 90 days of graduating. And so we have a team of 5 career service people that we've hired that have ramped up over this last quarter as well. But that's their main focus, is to be able to do that.
What do they do to achieve that rate?
So we have relationships with different businesses. So they go out and get the job orders. We have relationships with businesses in the local community. And so there's 2 pieces to it. They have 19 touch points that they work with the students throughout the classes we're going through, prepping for technology interviews, resume building, profile building, all those type of things. And then on the other side, they go out and do business development. So they're going out to businesses, meeting with businesses. We do what's called a Demo Day. It's actually happening this Friday. You guys are all welcome to come. So we have demo days about every 3 weeks where we bring employers in and the students that are in the program demonstrate their programs that they're building and everything. And so we have businesses that come in and get involved in that. And so we have students that are hired right out of demo days, because we also, part of demo days is running through a mock interview with employers as well. So the employers that have come in, because the interview for technology is a little different than an interview for becoming an admin or an office manager, right? Because it's more, can you do the job? And so we run our students through those type of things. And then for our online students that we have online, we actually, they come in as well, or they come in virtually. So they have those two options. And they participate in demo days with the employers as well. So we're doing those two, you know, we have multiple angles coming to get the placement rates.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Your retention rate has been low. What's going on with that?
Yes, so retention rates are, we have two different retention rates. The online retention rate, we're just starting to get graduates coming out, so it's really not a retention rate. We're retaining about 82% of our students right now. Our ground campus that we've been running for longer, we're graduating around that 88% marker out of the program. And now it is shorter, so we are losing 12% through a three-week window. Most of the students that we're losing that we've been experiencing, they don't do, they just can't keep up with that pace that's required with that program at the ground campus. And so it's one of the reasons we've implemented recently a provisional period, so that as they come in, we created a program called Coding from Scratch. So it's sort of initiation to come in and learn, because it's one thing that's new for us. Before we didn't have that, they were coming in and they were in. So we created Coding from Scratch. It's sort of the first week while they're in school, it gets them all the basic stuff. And then if they're not doing well at the end of that, then we call it reversal. But we talk to them, they have the option to remove out of class, and we refund all their money. So we're giving
them is that extra, is the time frame still the same? You're just doing something different at the beginning, or is it
the
second time?
We're doing different at the beginning. So the amount of time for the 13 weeks is there. We just added in a little bit more right up front to be able to sort of help them get ramped up a little bit quicker on the process. Yeah, and then so the other thing that we have for our graduates is we put a program in called Coding for Life. And so the main reason for that is we talk with the employers, and one of the things employers have is they change stacks or languages regularly. So they'll hire Java programmers, and then they get another project that's also running in Ruby or .NET or PHP. And so what we did in our program, our graduates will go through their stack that's based on the businesses in the area, but they get access to all the other stacks upon graduation. We call it Coding for Life. There's no cost to them. And so if I go work for GoDaddy, and then I switch in, GoDaddy's all of a sudden, oh, we got a new client, now you need PHP. Our graduates can come back in. They have all the content for free that they can access to go do the PHP portions of the language stack that they have to be able to go out and reskill. All online.
Any instructor interaction, or it's all?
With Coding for Scratch, it's all online. They do have the option that if they need assistance from a mentor, they can then call up and schedule a client with a mentor. Coding for Life, sorry. Yeah, so for the Coding for Life, it's just all the online content with recorded lectures that have been done by teachers in the past. And then if they do need the hands-on, then they can call and schedule time with a mentor. And we have mentors
that
cover
all languages.
No
fee for the mentoring also. We had some technical changes that we requested last time, and looking at the EA, it was not included. So those changes need to be made in both the catalog and in the EA. Those are in both places and given to Ms. Stanfield before the REO will be granted. The refund policy, there's confusion on the due to determination and the LDA. And there was also some very confusing wording on page 10 of the catalog regarding refunds. So we have asked this policy in regards to some significant revisions. So if you make sure that those are presented for review, that would be great. Does anyone have any other?
On the EA, there's a reference to, I think that people are confusing two terms. You're using administrative fees and enrollment fees interchangeably, but I think you want to stick to one term, what that means. And then it says that you will not retain more than $100 in administrative fees charged, as well as items of extra expense. And so I'm not sure what the items are extra expense is.
That's one of my changes that I need to talk about.
Okay. Well, because the next page said books fees and or book supplies and fees are included in the tuition and refunds.
Yeah, there are no additional expenses. Because everybody's already
included.
Yes, you might want. I have separate things that I need to change.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we can change.
I also just want on the 3-day cancellation. I think you're mixing up concepts, maybe. So you correctly have that a student who provides a written cancellation in 3 days of signing enrollment agreements entitled to a full refund, which is greater than 3 days. But then on line 1, 2, 3, 4 in that section, it says a full refund will also be made to any student enrolled in a 24-week program who cancels enrollment within the student's first 3 scheduled class days, except the school may retain not more than $100 in any administrative fees charged, as well as what you mentioned, extra items.
Sure.
But they've already started school, and so later in your refund policy, you say that when they've started school, you're going to be keeping a percent. So are you overriding that and
there
giving
are two, a freebie? Yeah, there are two pieces maybe that's worth a clarification. If a student enrolls, and they come back like 2 days later, and they're all, hey, you know what, I talked to my spouse or my senior, and I'm out, you get back 100%. No questions needed, you're just done. If you start school and you're in school, that's that reversal period that we put in place where that student, after those first few days of class, and they come in and they're like, I'm not getting this, I'm not able to keep pace, or our instructor says, hey, this person doesn't know how to use the enter button and we're trying to program, it's probably not the right place for them to be, right? Then we will remove everything
out. And you'll want to add that because it's contradictory. So, here you're saying, which is great, if you're willing to give 100% refund for 3 days, I'm happy to have you do it. But down here, you're saying you're going to charge them 10%, so you can't do both. So you would then just add in here.
Yeah, so first we just need to add in
clarification
what that means. Because if they decide to go past the 3 days, then the normal refund policy.
That's fine. Just put it above the 10%. So, just say first 3 days, 0% tuition, and a fee of that.
She's talking about it here on this chart here. It says that regardless of the time, you're charging 10% right here. But over here, we're talking about reversal policy. So we have one section saying, hey, there's a reversal policy if you drop in the first 3 days. But then on the refund, it says, if you finish 10% of the grade, you're charging the full amount. So they're sort of in conflict with each other. So we can clarify that verbiage for
you. It's nice for you to give the money back as you said. Because
yeah.
Anything else?
Madam Chair, the coding for life, where do you introduce that into the students?
Right up front. So when they do the enrollment agreement, we actually have a form that they sign and we sign saying this is what you get.
How do you ensure if the school closes down that they still have access to those resources? They're mm-hmm. kind of buying based on the belief that
we'll be around forever.
Right.
Yeah. So right now we do have all the stuff in the cloud. But that is a great question on how long that would go after. We're not planning on having any shutdown, but if it did occur, then we would have to figure out how to.
And so the title Coding for Life gives you the impression throughout your career you have access to those resources, which could really foster a purchasing decision around that. So I'm just trying to appreciate that a little bit better.
Okay. Yeah, so we need to do some verbiage around that. Student. That makes sense.
Generally, most schools aren't planning to shut down.
Yeah.
I just asked a couple of questions on the financials. The goodwill for $2,045,000. Could you just elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. That was an audit adjustment that was made for the purchase of Coder for Rent back in May of 2016. So that was, it was an an audit adjustment for last year. They had to increase the, or fix it on the balance sheet to get the purchase price to match up with.
So that is how much Exeter paid for
Correct.
Code
yes,
for
sir.
Life.
Yes, sir. Okay.
And then the additions to capital of a little over, well, $4.265 million. So that was
an additional investment.
And so is that reflected somewhere as like an equity elsewhere in there?
No, it's just it all goes into the total equity bucket. It's all capital in, so that all the members have kicked in for that 4.2.
Okay. And is any of it due back to them?
No, it's straight equity.
Okay. I'm good.
So we'll go into executive session in this place. Do we leave or do we leave? We will leave, so you guys can stay.
Oh,
we need a motion to go into executive session. Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Motion, second.
All okay with that?
Leave your microphone, Bill.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Please, please don't take it. Who is the second? You? Yes.
Session at 11:52. Some assurance in writing that they are covering, they're responsible for the losses that you're having to accrue you under. And that there would be continued, I'm not sure it would continue before. That's my motion.
And that they make the changes requested to the loan agreement in Kenlaw, and that they submitted before.
Yes, I'll accept that as part of my motion.
Okay, a motion, do we have a second? It is just about noon, and we have a couple of other things to do that are going to take a while. So we're going to break for half hour for lunch. So we will be back here about 25 past 12. Thank you.